Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
How we doing? It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. You know, sometimes you just see something during the break, and it ends up being something that you're going to talk about on the show. I'll get to the Cleveland Browns quarterback situation in just a bit. But I saw one of our colleagues, right, in WFAN, right, one of our coworker stations right down the hall. And they put out a clip, and it's Boomer Esiason and, you know, Greg Giannotti, hosted at this network for many years. They had a fan call them in the very popular morning show, Boomer and Gio, and said, "Guys, I'm going to a Broadway play on Saturday night. Now, the Knicks play the Pacers Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern time. We just got a note from the theater. You got to store your cell phones away during the play." So I guess it's like if you go to the Comedy Cellar where they give you one of those bags and you got to throw the phone in the bag and then it's sealed up and then you can't access it until the end of the show. So they sent that reminder, I guess, not only because it's a big Broadway play and I'm sure there's like things you can't record and all that stuff, but because the Knicks are playing the Indiana Pacers, it's in New York City, it's a Broadway play, and it's a Broadway play featuring Denzel Washington. So it's not like, Les Mis, been around for years. It's like a pretty cool thing to go to. So, you know, I'm not going to get on the fan, right? You had tickets for a Broadway show. You got them months ago. Who would have ever thought the Knicks would still be playing and would be in the conference finals in game six? Like, it's easy to say, oh, like, you know, some fan you are, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes you get things, and, right, he's going with his wife, and you just can't get out of these things. So they called up Boomer and Gio, and they said, like, what should you do? And Gio basically said, just have the phone out, and you get bounced out of the play. And they come over, and they kick you out of the play. So it's actually a smart idea. Because I think if someone called me up and said, I'd be like, well, do you have DVR? Your phone's away. Your phone's off. Just don't turn on the phone. And the moment when the play ends, stand up, put your hands over yours and be like, la, 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 and then get in your car. Don't turn on the radio and just drive home and then watch the game on DVR. Right? Like, that's what I would have suggested. But Gio's idea is kind of brilliant. You get bounced out. Probably your wife then will follow you if you get thrown out of the building. And then you just go to a bar and you end up watching the show. So I think that's a pretty good idea. You know, you may have to deal with a divorce afterwards or something like that. You may not be a happy life because your wife won't be happy, but at least you'll get to see the game. I don't know how realistic it is. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is Rami Lavi, I think that's how you say his name. He works here. Digital guy, nice guy. He then responds to this tweet. Rami responds to like everyone's stuff around here. Nice guy, but he's always given his opinions. And this is what he wrote. "I was at a Broadway show for my grandmother's birthday during Super Bowl 54. We were in the second row. I got called out by a cast member for watching on my phone and then got asked to leave at the intermission. I watched Mahomes' fourth quarter comeback at a bar down the block." Now, hold on. This this is not, oh, it was some playoff game that you didn't see coming. It's the freaking Super Bowl. I almost just said a word I couldn't say on the radio. Like, if my grandmother called me up and said, hey, we're celebrating my birthday. It's on Super Bowl Sunday. You know what my response would be? Grandma, I love you. It's a Super Bowl. Pick another date or I'm not coming. Or we'll celebrate your birthday another day. Going to a Broadway play on Super Bowl Sunday, you should not be allowed to work in the sports industry. Like, if I saw Rami right now in the newsroom, I would issue a citizen's arrest. And I would say, this is not past the statute of limitations. You are arrested for going to a Broadway play on Super Bowl Sunday. Has there ever been a sporting event where you just had something, Stu or Mike, and you couldn't get out of it? Because two things for me come to mind where you just had to go to something and suck it up and be there while it may not be a big sporting event, but at least a memorable sporting event to you. Either of you guys have any of those instances?
Not really, but there have been times where I've been here working during the, like, cutting tape for, like, a Super Bowl or a big game. So I'm watching it, but I'm not, like, watching it like I want to watch it. That's the only thing I can really think of.
And most of these TVs here don't have sound.
Yeah, it's just not the same.
So it's not the same. Samter, was there something with you that stands out to you?
Yeah, the one that really stands out was 98. The Jets made their miraculous run to the AFC Championship game and lost to the Broncos. But I wasn't expecting that to happen, right? We didn't expect Vinny Testaverde to step in and be the guy.
Vinny, and for the Jets
to win two playoff games and make it that far. So me and my buddies had planned like this ski trip vacation. And we were driving to the ski resort and had to listen to parts of it on the radio. But it was in the mountains, so we only caught half the game. Oy. And then at halftime, we couldn't catch anything. And by the time we got up there, we missed the entire rest of the game. So we caught like the first half on the radio, and that was it.
So one of mine actually had to do with a Broadway play, ironically. Now, it was 2002, so I was a youngster. But it was the last week of the regular season. It's the lone year when Tom Brady was a starter. He did not make the playoffs because Brady missed the playoff the year he had the ACL, but he wasn't playing. But the Patriots needed the Jets to lose, and it was the last week of the season, and the Jets were playing the Packers, and my family, I think it was Les Mis we had tickets to. And we went to Les Mis, and I was miserable because a big sports fan, big Patriot fan at the time, right? Team just coming off a championship, too. It's 2002, and they're right there. They need the Jets to lose. And the Jets, not only did they not lose, the Jets beat the Packers 42-17 in that game. So that's one that I remember. And then also, one of my best friends had a bar mitzvah. And for usually bar mitzvahs on Saturdays. For some reason, this bar mitzvah was on a Sunday. And it was in 2007 when the Mets were up 8 with 18 to play, I think, or 17 to play. 8 with 17 to play in the NL East. And the last game of the season, it was a 1 o'clock game. And it was a doubleheader bar mitzvah. Saturday bar mitzvah. Watched it wasn't like someone I really knew. It was like one of those, like, oh, it was like one of my family friends or my mom and dad's one of their friends' kids, but I didn't really know him. So I watched a John Main game at a bar at the bar mitzvah where it was like a special room where you could just watch, like, there was one TV and I watched the Mets. And then the next day, this was one of my best friend's bar mitzvah. So I said to my dad, what could we do? Because we called the place. They didn't have TVs. And we had tickets, too. And we couldn't cancel, though. Like, we had tickets to the game. We couldn't cancel, though, on the bar mitzvah. So my dad gave me a Watchman with the big antenna. And I bring it to the bar mitzvah. And people are crowding up over this thing to watch the black and white Watchman. And I'm not an ancient guy. But that's what I did to get the game. And Tom Glavine allowed like 7 runs or whatever. Didn't even get out of the first inning. And I'll never forget, this one guy's father came over and he goes, if you guys watch one more second of this crappy game, and the bar mitzvah's right next to like a bay, he goes, I'm taking that TV that was a Watchman and throwing it into the bay. That's what he ended up saying. So we all went inside because the game felt like it was over. And I want to say at one point, the Mets had the bases loaded and The Mets had a player, last name is Castro. I forget his first name. Maybe Ramon. And the bases were loaded, and my dad is now listening to the game through the radio. Like, he had like a handheld radio. And he goes, oh, gather around, here we go. And Howie Rose, never forget it, fly ball left field. And it was at the track, and it got caught. So those are the two instances where I had something that I just couldn't get out of them. Now I the easiest get out of jail free card. It's my job. I got to watch for my job. If you can't understand it, tough luck. So people know what they're getting into. All righty, let's get back to the Cleveland Browns. So we had Zach Jackson on earlier, who did a really good job talking about the Cleveland Browns quarterback situation. Let's hear from Aaron Goldhammer, who's on the Really Big Show on ESPN Cleveland. He ranks the Cleveland Browns quarterbacks after a few days of OTAs.
Best quarterback at OTAs yesterday from what I heard, and I talked to 20 people that were there.
Yeah.
Consensus best quarterback, Joe Flacco.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Consensus second best quarterback, Shedeur Sanders.
Wow.
Consensus third, Dylan Gabriel. Consensus worst player at OTAs, Kenny Pickett.
Aaron, that is your narrative. Chris, get the hell out of here.
He just came in and said Aaron's right.
Who said Aaron's right?
Chops.
So a little debate there. 888-710-4ISM. We go to Chris in California. Oh, sorry. Chris hung up. You know Chris is on the line. Kenny Pickett. I just heard Kenny Pickett mentioned. I got to call the station. But anyway, when we had on Zach Jackson, he said Dylan Gabriel, right, just looks absolutely lost. It's pretty much what he said. Shedeur Sanders is much better than Dylan Gabriel. Now, it does feel like, and we talked about this right after the draft, where it felt like the quarterback competition was really two quarterback competitions, where you had four quarterbacks, and you have Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders fighting for QB2 and QB3, and then QB1 was going to be between Joe Flacco and then Kenny Pickett. Whoever was going to lose there was going to end up getting probably cut or traded or something like that. Now, I said after the draft that it wouldn't shock me if Kenny Pickett's the week one starter. They have Joe Flacco go somewhere else. Shedeur 2, Dylan Gabriel 3, or Dylan Gabriel 2, Shedeur 3. I'm going to alter that now. I think Joe Flacco's going to win the job. Not a hot take. I think Kenny Pickett's going to either get traded to maybe the Saints or maybe he just gets outright released. And then I'm going to say that Shedeur Sanders will be 2 and Dylan Gabriel will be 3. Now, I had Dylan Gabriel, I think, ranked as my fifth best quarterback in this draft class. And people are like, whoa, you put him at 5. So I had Shedeur as 2. It was Cam Ward 1, and Shedeur Sanders was in at 2. Where did I rank Dylan Gabriel? I may have ranked him actually as QB4. And that's maybe what it was. Anyway, I forget how I ranked him. But I'm going to assume, I have my rankings right here. Cam Ward was 1. Shedeur Sanders was 2. Yeah, Jalen Milroe was 3. Well, the way I did it on a tweet, Cam Ward 1, Shedeur Sanders 2. Space, 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 space. 3, Jalen Milroe. 4, Dylan Gabriel. 5, Jackson Dart. First guy out, Kyle McCord. That's how I had my quarterbacks that were ranked. And I said this is not a strong class. So I never thought that Dylan Gabriel was better than Shedeur Sanders. I was shocked when Dylan Gabriel won in the third round. Quite frankly, I was more shocked when Dylan Gabriel went in the third round than when Michael Penix went 8 or when Bo Nix went 12th a year ago. And obviously we all knew those guys were going in the first round, but you know, 2 weeks before the draft, you said Michael Penix would have gone 8 and Bo Nix would have gone 12th. No one would have believed it. But right now, if I'm going to assume the week one depth chart for the Cleveland Browns, it's going to be Joe Flacco 1, Shedeur Sanders 2, and Dylan Gabriel 3. And then when you further look at the schedule, the first 6 games, it's murderer's row for the Cleveland Browns. Now, I guess the only saving grace is 3 of those games are in division, and in division games, anything could happen, but it's still terrible games, like tough games. Cincinnati, week 1, at Baltimore, week 2, Green Bay, week 3, at Detroit, week 4, you're out of the U.S. in week 5 up against the Vikings, and you're at Pittsburgh in week 6. So I think as long as Joe Flacco is able to stand upright, that you will see Joe Flacco start for the Cleveland Browns up against the Bengals, the Ravens, the Packers, the Lions, the Vikings, and the Steelers. If I set the over-under at 1, 1.5, I'll be a little bit nicer. Do the Browns get more than... Do the Browns get two wins in those first six games of the season? Bengals at the Ravens, Packers at the Lions, not in the U.S. up against the Vikings, and then at the Pittsburgh Steelers. How many wins do they get there, Stu?
I think one.
Santer, could you see them getting two there?
I mean, anything can happen.
Yeah, but would you feel confident in taking the over there?
No, I wouldn't feel confident, but it's certainly possible. I guess
the saving grace is you get the Bengals in week one, and the Bengals can't show up in week one. Like, the Patriots beat them last year.
But eventually they have to break through that, right?
You would think so, and if it's not this year, then it's going to be never. Yeah, man. I would actually say that maybe they get one. Like, I don't feel good about saying any of those games are wins. There's no game that you could say, oh, that's definitely a win. If they're going to get a win, it's probably just one of those divisional games, just because it's a divisional game and anything that could happen. Like, do I think they're beating Green Bay? No. Do I think they're beating the Lions? No. Do I think they're beating Minnesota? Unless if J.J. McCarthy stinks, no. And even if J.J. McCarthy stinks, they don't think he will. That team's more talented in Minnesota than the Cleveland Browns. That's not even close. So that's a brutal schedule. Like, if they're 0-4 to start out the season, how are you going to be able to call off the dogs and make it a quarterback change? Because Minnesota and Pittsburgh, maybe that's the earliest you could see a quarterback change. The first 4 weeks of the season, I don't think you'll see one unless if it's injury. But I was going to say that you won't even see a quarterback change until Miami, New England, and the Jets. But if it goes by, hey, Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett, one of you guys will be on the roster, then that's the week one starter. And then it's Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, 2-3, or however you want to order those guys, you know, with one of them being 2 and one of them being 3. But right now, I would say Flacco's going to be 1, Shador's going to be 2, and then Dylan Gabriel will be 3, and Kenny Pickett won't be on the team. But I think the earliest you could see someone start is actually Minnesota in terms of the next quarterback up. The latest, it's probably the Jets on November 9th. Because after those six games, which are tough opponents, you get Miami, you're then at New England, bye week at the Jets. Maybe the absolute latest. And I would think that it would be the Jets. You get the Ravens on November 16th, then at the Raiders on November 23rd. Like, if we don't see either Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel by November 23rd, I would be stunned. And probably, I think you're going to get one of them a lot earlier. Let's hear Nathan Zagora, who joined us actually right after the draft. He gave us some great insight on this entire Cleveland Browns quarterback situation. Today, he was on with Maggie and Perloff and had this to say.
Shedeur's look good, though. His ball placement is elite. His ability to layer throws is elite. I think he's got plenty of arm strength. We've seen that on display, certainly in camp at times. There's something about Shedeur. I got a chance to interview him. He is very confident, but not in a cocky way. Has a lot of belief in himself. I like him. I like the kid a lot. Did he develop some bad habits? Sure. But when plays were clean, his ball placement is, I think, elite. And if you can be accurate with the football, deliver and know where it's supposed to go, you can be very successful in this league for a long time, especially in this style of an offense.
And I really do believe Flacco starts week one and then Shedeur is going to get on the field at some point. The question then becomes, is Shedeur good enough? And does Shedeur give enough people the middle finger where he's able to keep that job and play at that level? But what Zach Jackson said earlier, he's like, Dylan Gabriel just doesn't look anywhere close to an NFL quarterback. Like, Dylan Gabriel will say all the right things. He'll handle the media the right way. But there are big concerns. That's what I took away from our chat with Zach Jackson. That, like, this early on, it's tough to really have an opinion this early on in OTAs, voluntary OTAs. And it was a very negative opinion from Zach Jackson about Dylan Gabriel. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll do onside, offside next. Coming on back.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb.
Alrighty, a little onside, offside time on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Stu, what do we got cooking today, my man?
All right, so after requesting a trade, Myles Garrett signed a massive new deal to stay in Cleveland and promised to become an even more of a leader for the Browns. However, Garrett is missing from voluntary OTAs, instead taking his girlfriend on a vacation to Japan. Now, yesterday, defensive end Ogba Okoronkwo liked the post, questioning Garrett's leadership, but later clarified that he considers Garrett, quote, a great teammate and leader, end of quote. Onsides, offsides, after the offseason drama and new contract, Garrett should be at OTAs.
Yeah, I think Ogbo should be quiet on that one. He got 17 sacks in his career. Myles Garrett gets that in like one season. And the Cleveland Browns should be kissing the ground and looking up and just thankful that Myles Garrett took the money from them. If this was a quarterback, I think it's a different conversation. I do. Quarterbacks are different. You're a star pass rusher, voluntary OTAs. You don't need to be there. And I know they just paid him. This is not going to impact the Cleveland Browns whatsoever this upcoming season. So after the offseason drama, new contract, Garrett should be at OTAs. I have no problem with him missing this. So I will go offside.
Offside!
All right, from one AFC North pass rusher to another, Trey Hendrickson has openly threatened to sit out regular season games if he does not get a new deal. Now today, ESPN's Jeremy Fowler wrote, several people familiar with Hendrickson believe there's a chance he'll follow through on skipping games or even the entire season, calling the reigning sack leader, quote, extremely dug in.
Mm-hmm.
Onside, offside, you believe Hendrickson will sit out games if he doesn't get a deal?
Oh, yeah. I think you guys asked me this about James Cook earlier in the week, and I was like, no, I think James Cook is going to eventually play. I think Trey Hendrickson, this is now another year of this, and I think there's even more frustration where last year was coming off 17 and a half sacks. They altered the deal, whatever. And now you have the same issue when he did 17 and a half sacks once again. And you see Myles Garrett get paid in your own division. And TJ Watt will probably get a new deal at some point this offseason. Trey Hendrickson has every right to be livid, especially when Burrow, Jamar Chase, and T. Higgins all got paid. I do think Trey Hendrickson would be willing to sit out games, especially since he showed up because he didn't want to get fined and then basically just blasted the entire process. I don't think this guy will walk away in the 11th hour unless if there is a new deal and just be like, hey, I'm just going to show up and play on what the deal is. If he doesn't get a new deal, he will sit out games. You believe Hendrickson will sit out games if he doesn't get a deal? Onsides.
All right. The Vikings have built one of the most balanced rosters in the league and continue to win despite massive roster turnover. Well, today the team rewarded GM Kwesi Adofo-Mensah for his masterful work, handing him a multi-year extension. Onsides, offsides, Adofo-Mensah is a top three GM in the NFL.
If you said top five, maybe I'll go onsides. Top three, no. I could name four GMs just right off the top of my cabeza that I think are better. Obviously, Howie Roseman, Veach with the Chiefs, Brad Holmes with the Detroit Lions, and then also, who was the fourth one that I was going to give you? Oh, no, Brandon Bean with the Buffalo Bills. So Roseman, Veach, Bean, and Brad Holmes. Those would easily be four. And you know who also needs to be thrown in consideration? Now, I don't know if he's better than Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. I don't. Nick Caserio has done a pretty good job fixing that disaster of a situation with the Houston Texans. So he's in the top five conversation. Top three, I can't go there yet. So Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is a top three NFL GM. I'm going offside.
Offside.
The New York Knicks stayed alive in the Eastern Conference Finals last night, beating the Pacers at MSG by 17 points. Now, during the season, the two teams combined to go 0-4 against the Thunder, who await the winner of this series in the NBA Finals. Onsides, offsides, the Knicks have a better chance to beat the Thunder than the Pacers do.
I'm going to say offside, A, because the Knicks will have to win two more games in order to get to the NBA Finals. The Pacers just have to win one more game. But I think the pace of the way that the Pacers play is more conducive to giving the Thunder a better run for your money, even though the Thunder score a ridiculous amount of points and are tremendous defensively. So the Knicks have a better chance to beat the Thunder than the Pacers. I will begrudgingly go offside on that one.
Offside.
We've seen some hostility between NBA teams over the past few days. First, Pat McAfee called out famous Knicks fans, which not only upset Ben Stiller, but also led Pacers diehard fan John Mellencamp to call out McAfee. Then, after the Thunder dispatched the Timberwolves, Chet Holmgren, he trolled Anthony Edwards on Instagram, and SGA's Sue Brand Converse released a video mocking Ant as well.
Oh, I didn't even see those two parts.
Onsides, offsides, despite the blowback, you love these taunts and think they are good for the game.
I laughed at the question because, like, the way that it was originally said was, well, we've seen some hostility between NBA teams the past few days, and it was like, Pat McAfee, John Mellencamp, and Ben Stiller. I go, what position does McAfee, Mellencamp, and Stiller play? But then when you get to the later part of that with Chet Holmgren and Anthony Edwards and then the shoe brands with SGA and all that, yeah, I think that's good. I'm all fine with that. The Oklahoma City Thunder could talk whatever smack they want. They won. They beat the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Pacers still have to get one more game, but I got no problem with McAfee did. I think Mellencamp and Ben Stiller came off a little bit weak there, if I'm just being honest myself. So despite the blowback, who cares about the blowback? In my opinion, you love these taunts and think they're good for the game. Yeah, I got no problem with that. Onsides.
After Mike Leach's shocking death in 2022, he ended his career with a .596 winning percentage, just shy of the College Football Hall of Fame's required 60% benchmark to be eligible for induction. Well, yesterday, the Hall changed the requirement, lowering it to 59.5%, and making Leach and others like Kirk Ferentz, Les Miles, and Rich Rodriguez also eligible. Onsides, offsides, you're fine with the Hall changing the rules to let in Leach?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I remember in the aftermath of his just shocking passing, people brought up the Hall of Fame clause, and they had to, like, say, they said, oh, you should need to move that you need to have a 60% winning percentage to get into Hall of Fame. I don't think you should have those parameters. I think you just keep it open and you either think the guy's a Hall of Fame coach or he isn't. But when you have that slim of a margin, 59.5 to 60%, I know it's not technically qualifying. I thought that was stupid to begin with. So I'm fine with the Hall changing the rules to potentially allow Mike Leach in. Absolutely. Onsides.
In yesterday's 9-3 win over the Phillies, Braves starter Chris Sale struck out 8 batters. And became the fastest pitcher to reach 2,500 strikeouts, accomplishing the feat in 2,026 innings to beat Randy Johnson's old record of 2,107 and 2/3 innings. Sale is the reigning NL Cy Young winner and finished top 6 in the American League Cy Young voting in 7 straight seasons between 2012 and 2018 with both the White Sox and Red Sox. And he also has a career record of 141-86 and ERA of just 3.04. Onside's offsides, Chris Sale is a Hall of Famer.
So, Stu, your immediate reaction, like, without giving it thought, if I was just to ask you, I know we had a little conversation about this off air, is Chris Sale Hall of Famer? Yes or no? Give me an answer right now. You would have said?
I would have said no.
Right? Yes. I would have said no as well. And I saw some clip today. I think it was from Maggie and Perloff. Yeah, because it was with EJ. And they're like, oh, is Chris Sale Hall of Famer? And EJ was like, it's a good one. Probably not. And that was my reaction, too. But then you go into the numbers here. And I know we now need to reconfigure how we view, right, Hall of Famers. Usually it was, do you have 300 wins? Like that was like a benchmark. 300 wins to make the Hall of Fame as a pitcher. With the way that wins have, in a weird way, have been devalued now with starting pitchers, I would say that you need to change that. But you look at Chris Sale, he's 141-86 with a 304 ERA. He has 2,500 strikeouts. He's an 8-time All-Star, a 2018 World Series champion, won the Cy Young last year, also winning the Triple Crown last year. And he led the league, obviously, in those three categories, and also led the league in strikeouts 3 times. I will say Chris Sale is a Hall of Famer on one caveat. He gets to 3,000 strikeouts. Now, he's at 2,500, so he's getting 500 more strikeouts. He's 36. It's definitely possible. He had 300, I think he had like 300 last year or something like that, or 250 something last year. So if he pitches like 3 more seasons, he should get that. With that being said, I will go on sides now as long as he gets to 3,000 strikeouts. There's only 2 pitchers not in the Hall of Fame that's had 3,000 strikeouts. Assisi just got in. There are Roger Clemens and then also Curt Schilling. Now, why is Roger Clemens not in? Because the Hall of Fame voters, they like to pick and choose which steroid guys that they hold accountable. It's a bleeping joke, in my estimation, that Roger Clemens. So I hate his guts. He's my least favorite player ever in the history of sports. Even I will advocate and say that Roger Clemens should be in the Hall of Fame. Now, why isn't Curt Schilling in the Hall of Fame? Some people will make excuses and just be like, oh, well, he was a good regular season pitcher, great postseason pitcher, all-time great postseason pitcher, but he wasn't good enough in the regular season. Let's just be real about Curt Schilling. He talked himself out of the Hall of Fame. Now, I know there's clauses and things like that. I don't care what a guy says, even though some of the things Curt Schilling said was despicable. Don't get me wrong. To me, were you a great player or not? When I think of Curt Schilling, Hall of Fame, it's an immediate yes for me. So I think if Sale gets the 3,000, with how now wins have been devalued in this new era of pitching, I do think that Chris Sale, if he gets 500 more strikeouts around, will be in the Hall of Fame. So I will go on sides.
All right, last one. The Oilers beat the Stars last night to advance to the Stanley Cup Finals, ensuring a rematch of last year's finals against the Panthers. Now, Florida won that series in 7 games, nearly blowing a 3-0 lead against Edmonton. Onside all sides, the Oilers are better equipped to beat the Panthers this year than last year.
So my immediate reaction on this was no, because of the Zach Hyman injury. That was the first thing I thought of. And then the further that you do a little deep dive in this, well, last year, the Panthers had the home ice advantage. This year, the Oilers have the home ice advantage. And also, I think more importantly, the goalie for the Oilers, Stuart Skinner, is playing at a better level this year. So I'm not saying, I said before, I'm not picking against the Florida Panthers until they go down, and now we're in the last round, so I'm going to pick the Florida Panthers. Do I think the Oilers are alive? Absolutely. You know, this reminds me a little bit of Penguins and Blackhawks when you saw that. And they went back-to-back years. So can McDavid have his moment, who won the Conn Smythe last year and now have the Conn Smythe and the Stanley Cup? Yes. But I do think the Oilers are better equipped because of the home ice and the way that their goalie, or as, let's say in hockey terms, their goaler is playing in Skinner. So the Oilers, they're better equipped even with the Hyman injury to beat the Panthers this year than last year, even though the Panthers got Brad Marchand, and that's just absolutely stupid that the Panthers were able to get him. But I do think they're better equipped to beat the Panthers this year than last year, so I will go on sides. All righty, that's Onside Offside on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come on back, Chip Kelly's trying to tell you there's not a problem, but it sounds like there is a problem. And with Chip Kelly's past, don't like what's going on already with the Raiders. We'll get to that on the other side. Stu, it's only May 30th, and I already have a negative thing to say about your Raiders. You know, I'm watching this video of Timothy Chalamet and Kylie Jenner. So they were at the Knicks game last night. Obviously, if you're watching the game, you know, the Knicks-Pacers game. And they were right there sitting courtside. Timothy Chalamet, a big Knicks fan. And it was just Kylie there this time, who he's dating. When I went to, what was it? Knicks and Celtics, I think it was. Yeah. That was that game four. I saw Kendall Jenner. So I saw her, and she's stunning. And Kylie is obviously stunning. And I'm seeing this video now. They already left the game, and I guess they were walking into a restaurant after the game. So they're walking out of this SUV that they're in, and the paparazzi's there. And it's like shutter, 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 right? The flashing, all that stuff. And Timothy Chalamet's like smiling for the cameras. And Kylie Jenner, who's had a camera in her face ever since she was born, has basically her hands over her eyes, I guess trying to block out the flash. I don't know about you, Stu. I've only had one crazy paparazzi moment. I won't say who, but there was one day that TMZ was outside of our office and they were waiting for someone. And it just so happened that I took an Uber to work that day, and it's a pretty big day. And I took that Uber and just a black SUV happened to pick me up. So I guess they were waiting for said person to walk into our office. And I pull up with the Uber driver in a black SUV, and all the cameras start hoarding and start to shutter their cameras and all that. And the Uber driver's like, who are you and what did you do? And I knew said person was coming into the office. So I said to the Uber driver, this is the paparazzi. They think I'm someone, but I'm not the person that they think. They just can't see inside the car right now and they're getting ready. And I remember opening up the door and the paparazzi was like, oh, sorry, we thought you were going to be somebody else. But I don't know, if I was that famous, like if I was Timothy Chalamet, if I was Kylie Jenner, wouldn't you bring sunglasses with you everywhere that you went? Just so when you got out of the car, you wore the sunglasses just so you wouldn't have to see the ridiculous flashing from the cameras. That's at least what I would do, Stu. So if Kylie Jenner needs some advice, right? Kylie, Zach Gelb here. Happy to talk to you whenever you want. You know, you want to take me to the next Knicks game? If there is one at Madison Square Garden, me, you, Chalamet, you know, bring Kendall Jenner for crying out. Bring one of your friends for crying out. Who cares? If I'm sitting there courtside, I bring you some sunglasses. I call my guy Stephon Marbury. I say, hey, Steph, need some shades for Timothy Chalamet and for Kylie Jenner. So when we all go out, have a big night in the town afterwards, have some expensive bowl of pasta and probably have like a bunch of wine or whatever these rich snobs do, right? Or rich people do. I don't know if they're snobs. Timothy Chalamet seems like a good guy. Kylie Jenner seems like a good gal. That you would have sunglasses ready to go. They need sunglasses here, Stu. Like, Chalamet's ready for the cameras. He's like, hey, what's up? How you doing? He looks happy. Kylie Jenner's like, oh, my God, my eyes are absolutely killing me.
It's almost a rookie move not to have the sunglasses. You should have sunglasses.
Yeah, and also, right, if you're that big of a star, even if you're not that big of a star, maybe you're in that car, you're doing a little puff-puff, and you get out. The last thing you want is just this obnoxious just cameras just flashing in your face. You need some sunglasses. So, Kylie, if you're listening right now, I'm sure you are. You know, just hit us up, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Say you want to speak to Zach, Stu, Santer, you know, whoever's in after, whoever's producing JR tonight. I think it's Nico. You know, just ask for Zach Gelb's number and just politely text me, Kylie. Just politely text me. It'd be good. Be good for all, I think. Anyway, let's get to our Ask the Pros question of the day. It's time to Ask the Pros question of the day, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Craig in Vegas says, Zach, what are your thoughts on Chip Kelly as the offensive coordinator for the Raiders? You could submit a question by tweeting at INSportsCenter at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Big O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So there was this whole big comeuppance? Would that be the right word? I don't know. That sound like a right word there?
It sounds like a right word. I'm not sure if it definitely is, but it sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds good to me. I guess so. There was a big fuss.
Kerfuffle?
No, kerfuffle's like, I think, like a little bit more fighting. Is comeuppance a right word there?
But it's not necessarily the right word. It's
what does that mean exactly? Santer was like half talking and then he kept on turning off his microphone. So there was a lot of just like sound effects there. But anyway, there was like a lot of noise, a lot of speculation. And a lot of things that are we're going back. How the heck do you even spell comeuppance? Did I even? I just tried to type that in, and I got Alvin and the Chipmunks on Google. So, Sam, just see if you can spell how to spell comeuppance and give me a definition of it by the end of the show. But anyway, there's been a lot of talk about Ashton Jeanty and his stance. You have it? How do you spell it?
Not what you would think. It's not come up ins. It's C-O-M.
So settle down there.
Yeah.
I know we were just talking about the Jenners, but relax there.
She was just on the phone, by the way. C-O-M-E-U-P-P-A-N-C-E. Comeuppance.
Wait. Spell it again.
C-O-M-E-U-P-P-A-N-C-E. So two P's.
Okay.
A-N-C-E. And the definition officially is a punishment or fate that someone deserves. He got his comeuppance.
So definitely not the word that I was looking for. But anyway, I quickly spelled in comeuppance or however you spell it to just try to get some immediate response. And I spelled it C-H-I-P-U-M-O-M-A-N-T-S.
That was close.
I guess. I wouldn't really say so. But anyway, there's been all this talk about Ashton Jeanty's stance, who he stands straight up. And it was talked about how Chip Kelly wants him to bend a little bit, like hunch over a little bit. So after this whole, give me a word. I need a word here to describe this. Now I'm stuck on this.
Backlash.
Hoopla?
Hoopla, there you
hoopla.
Go.
Hoopla. All righty, we'll do a little hoopla on a Friday. After all this hoopla around in this, Chip Kelly had to address this at his media availability for OTAs. And after the Marconi that we just provided you and how we just used the English language perfectly, this is what Chip Kelly had to say.
Let's get that clarified. Okay. Dylan McCullough, our running back coach, is in charge of stances, steps, alignments, assignments, and techniques. So he talked to him about that. I gave him an analogy of an athlete being in a bent knee position to make a play. And that kind of got blown into. I haven't told anybody on this team to be in any stances because I don't coach a position. So, but it's a bent knee game. You know, baseball is, if you look at the before the ball snapped in baseball or the pitch is thrown in baseball, everybody's got their knees bent. In any athletic sport you're playing, you got to bend your knees. And if you got to run a flat route on Fred Warner, you better be in a position to run because that dude can fly. You know, so all we're trying to do is put guys in positions to make plays. And he's adapted really well from going from here to here. So it literally is about 3 inches. So I really don't think that is that big a deal.
Chip, 3 inches is a big deal. You know, many things. Maybe not in this case, but in other things, 3 inches is a big deal. But when we get to this, brouhaha was the word that I was looking for. The light bulb finally went off in my cabeza. But anyway, when you get to this, this is my concern that I have about Chip Kelly. When he was with the Eagles, he thought he was the smartest guy in the room. When he was with the San Francisco 49ers, he thought he was the smartest guy in the room. When him and Ryan Day were game planning up against Michigan, they thought they could win a certain way. Smartest guy in the room. Usually the guy who thinks he's the smartest guy in the room isn't the smartest guy in the room in all walks of life. But when it comes to this, you have Ashton Jeanty, a specimen. Ashton Jeanty, who was a football god last year. And now you're basically saying, oh, I didn't tell Ashton Jeanty how to stand. I didn't tell him to change his stance. I'm not the position coach. You're the offensive freaking coordinator. And then for you to follow it up and don't even have the backbone to stand by this and be like, oh, but I do think you should bend, right? You need to bend in football. If Fred Warner's there, you got to bend. It's only 3 inches. You know where this went to. You know the brouhaha, the hoopla that came out of this. And you're trying to change a guy who was unstoppable last year in college football. Just let him be him. Give him the opportunity to show his way won't work in the NFL. And if it doesn't work in the NFL, then you change it. You don't need to change this right now. No one could stop Ashton Jeanty last year. No one could tackle him. But this is typical Chip Kelly. Oh, you're doing something that works? Hold on. I'm smarter than you. I'm Oregon, Chip. I'm the smartest guy in the room. I got to turn this around. You got to do something else. So yeah, I'm concerned about Chip Kelly as the offensive coordinator of the Raiders because they're trying to change something with Ashton Jeanty that isn't broken. If it isn't broken, don't try to fix it. It's that simple. Stu, you got to be annoyed by this. This is your football team.
Yeah, I'm not concerned. There is a little concern, and like you said, it's Ashton Jeanty. Can we not try to fix something that
this is not
broken?
Some six round slap? You know what? Pick.
Please do not ruin Ashton Jeanty, Chip Kelly. Please, God. Please, I beg you,
Chip Kelly.
I can't take much more.
The Chipster. All righty, that will do it for the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Big thanks to Zach Jackson. Big thanks to Chris Doering for joining us. Carpacci, Santer, and also Kovacs. Did I get that last name pronounced? Okay, good. I think I called him earlier week Scarpaccio. And then I'm like, I think I added a few extra syllables there. Maybe a few vowels as well. We'll talk to you on Monday, everybody, at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.